You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And the scripture reading today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 21. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this opportunity to meet together. We thank thee for the fellowship we have and enjoy together. Pray for those who are unwell this morning. We ask your blessing on the service as we preach the word of God. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we're on the book of 1 Corinthians. We're up to chapter 4. And I hope to go and finish the chapter off. We came across some very interesting things in chapter 4. It says this in verse 6, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." And you notice this word transferred, which is from this word metaskematizo, which means to transform. And this is kind of an interesting part of this whole passage, because if you remember, what you have is you have various groups that have been formed by various people who were puffed up and who were various miscreants within the Corinthian assembly, who said, well, you know, I really think what we need to do is we need to follow Apollos, you know, and what he says. And others would say, no, what we need to do is we need to follow Paul and what he says. And they formed groups, and they made the two groups and the two leaders antagonistic to one another, and so they formed wrong division, right? They formed wrong division. Now, what happens here is, though, Paul does something interesting. He says this, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos." So even though the context here was wrong, there's a wrong context in this whole business, what Paul does is he uses this as a way of teaching. But he does so by first laying out the fact that he's made a transformation. Now, what people want to do is, they want to say, no, that today, you see, we preach and we teach Paul, and that's what happened in the book of Acts, that Paul, what he laid there in the book of Acts is what we are teaching, and that he revealed the mystery during the book of Acts. And so, in effect, what they're doing is they're forming some sort of division between Apollos and Paul, Paul and Peter, and Paul and other of the apostles in that time, which goes completely against with what Paul is doing here. And you may say, but isn't he using this as an example? Yes, he is using this as an example, but he's transforming it. He's changing the form of this. He's transforming this to himself. If it was naturally the case that there really was a division between Paul and Apostle, he would not have to change the form of this. He would simply take it to himself and Apollos and say, yeah, that's what it was, but in fact, this, you know, that was a bad thing. No, what he does is he says he transforms these things to himself and Apollos, as he says here, "For your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written." Yeah, there is an example that he can use, but he must first of all transform this bad situation to himself and Apollos in order that he can use it as a way of an example that not to take someone above that which is written. And then he says that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. It's an important thing. It's a very important little passage there that you can skip. It's quite easy to skip over these words. I know I did. I skipped over these when I was much younger in the faith and reading these things. Verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? This is a very interesting thing. Because this word glory appears in 1 Corinthians in a number of places. If you just look back at chapter 1 and verse 29, it says that no flesh should glory in his presence. There it is, the word glory, same one that's mentioned here. And verse 31 of the same chapter, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that's the verse, right? There it is, as it is written. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And then in chapter 3 and verse 21 it says, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And then finally right here in chapter 4 and verse 7 where we've read, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? What's going on here? Well, what's going on here is that these people within the Corinthian assembly, they are saying, well, look at the things we have, and we got it ourselves, it's all us, we've done it, it's me, it's you, it's whoever. Rather than accepting the truth that everything that they receive, that they've got, they've received, they've got from someone else. The word receive is to receive it, to take hold of it. But to take hold of it means that someone has come and given it to you. Just look at this again, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? To differ. Who maketh thee to differ? Whatever your station in life, whatever you have, and certainly they are gifts of the Spirit in this fellowship, where did you receive it from? Who maketh thee to differ? Again, it's to do with origin and source. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? Aha, so they are glorying, right? They're glorying in their position. And then he says, as if, so this is their pretense, as if thou hadst not received it. They're pretending that they did not receive it from anyone else. No, no, it's us, man. We're good. We're going to glory in this. And what practical application can we get from this for ourselves? Well, I guess what we've got to do, be careful of, is being overly arrogant with the amount of truth that's come to us. And it is amazing how much truth has come to us as people have come to understand the Word of God rightly divided. But what we must not do is pretend that somehow we in ourselves are great people, that we in ourselves somehow originated this as if we didn't receive it. Because the truth is, we received it, right? Virtually everybody in here is going to have to come up with a testimony of the fact that in some way or another you received this knowledge, right? That's certainly true of me. Man, I received it. Oh, man. I was like a... Have you seen chickens after they had their heads chopped off? Well, if you haven't been on a farm, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But it's the weirdest thing, you know, these poor old chickens getting their heads chopped off and they go running around with their heads off, flopping around all over the place. We used to have chickens... We used to have chickens in Kumu in New Zealand, and they used to just breed like crazy. We just let them roam. They just roost out in the trees, and there were all kinds of colors and everything. And every now and then, there were a pair of hen with all these little chicks behind them. And after a while, the numbers would grow. And I mean, we, you know, get out of my way. We're going outside the door, and there's chickens everywhere. And my dad would just periodically, maybe after about every 5 years, he'd say, that's it! That's it! They're going! And so, herd them into a garage, and out comes the chopping block, and boom, 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 the heads are coming off. And we're cleaning these things all day. Nice to eat, but a pretty messy process. Anyway, how do we get off into that? But anyway, verse 8, now ye are full, now ye are rich, Ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Comparison, source. What gives you this difference? It comes from without. What have you got that you didn't receive? Don't pretend that you didn't receive it. And then he goes on and he says, look, you're reigning. He's using very strong irony here. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign. So what does that mean? That means in reality they were not reigning as kings. But he would that they were in that position. But they had this pretense that this was the case. And by the way, how could that be that they could perhaps come up with this idea that they were reigning as kings? Well, they had all these gifts, man. They had tremendous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it was evident. And it would be very, very earth-changing and mind-changing to see real gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm not talking about fake things. I'm talking about real gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 9, for I think that God hath set forth us. Okay? So here you got the pretenders, right? You got the pretenders pretending to reign. And they weren't really reigning. And then you've got the spiritual examples of the apostles. And what was their state? For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle, theatron. Spectacle there comes from this Greek word theatron. It's a theater. For we made a theater unto the world, and to angels, and to men. These people who had been given the mysteries, they were stewards of the mysteries of God, and yet they were made a spectacle. They were put forth last. We are fools for Christ's sake. Now look at this, irony. But ye are wise in Christ. It says, we are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. The Lord Jesus Christ, he had said, you know, he hath not where to lay his head. And labor, working with his own hands, being reviled, we bless. Look at the opposite. Man, is this hard to do. Who is the spiritual example here? It's the apostles, right? And what place do they have within the society? Well, as we're going to read, the offscouring of the world. No place to live. Treated as dirt. Being persecuted, we suffer it. So you see these two opposites going on. And man, you have to say, it's very hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard to do this? It says here, in verse 12, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. What does it mean, entreat? Call alongside, man. You know, you feel like knocking people back when this sort of stuff happens. But their attitude was quite the opposite. They took the spiritual line. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things until this day. Right unto this day. Well, again, time is right there, isn't it? Time unto this day. Well, that's a specific time that mentioned here in the book of Acts. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Here it comes. Very interesting development here. He doesn't write to shame, but he does do so to warn. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yeah, a lot of people instruct in Christ, ye have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul setting himself up as a father. He is a father figure to them. And he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. That's true. And I was thinking about this in terms of the founding fathers. You know, you look at these parallels. There's certain interesting parallels that come up in these things. That Paul's authority is there because of this development. You see, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, there are a lot of people that want to instruct you in things, right? There are some good things to learn along the way. But he says here, yet not many fathers. Not many. There's not many who are earth-shattering in their influence. Paul was one of these who were earth-shattering in their influence. He was given a special amount of information targeted in this time to the people of the book of Acts. And in our time, he was given the revelation of the mystery. And what does he do? He fills up that which is behind of the sufferings of Christ for your sake, which is the body. Yes, he has a special place for us in this age. And so you think about all the different people that have had influence in America. But you have to say, the founding fathers have a very special place, don't they? I mean, they just have a huge place. So what does it mean to be an American? Well, to be an American is to take on this thinking, this belief structure concerning how this nation is to be run and what place government has in relationship to the people. This writing down of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution and its amendments, all pointing to liberty and justice, and what Thomas Jefferson said were self-evident truths, which are not so self-evident in the mindset of people today. And how could that be? Because they're forgotten, or the teaching about the founding fathers has been systematically expunged from the curricula of the nation's schools, so that people coming up through have missed out on these wonderful truths. And what effect does it have? Hey, without founding fathers, on what basis do you have a good example for how the country should be run? If without the founding father of the Apostle Paul, how do we know what God's will is? And especially today, after that's been given to Paul the prisoner. Can you see a nice parallel going on here? There's some wonderful parallels going on here that we need to learn. Now, I can't say as we Americans yet, because that would include myself as an American. Well, they're stopping me from doing that and giving me all sorts of bills before I can get to that point. But eventually we'll be able to say we Americans, right? Why is that possible? Because what is America? America is not a particular ethnic group, is it? It's not an ethnic group. It's simply a group of people who've come to admit this. It comes down to the founding fathers and what they taught. That's what has made America great, and that's what will make America great again if people come back to this, right? And how is this parallel to us spiritually? Well, when people get to see who the founding father is, the Apostle Paul, then things will change in Christianity too, right? And we need to be leading that charge, man. We need to be leading it. And it goes on and says in verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now that's a pretty strong statement, don't you agree? Now, we understand this is in context in the book of Acts. Yeah, that's right. But Paul says from post-Acts, consider what I say in the Lord, give the understanding in all things. So not only is this truth taken on after the book of Acts, but it's compounded even further because to Paul, the prisoner, was given further revelation. It says in verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. Oho! They were to be brought into remembrance of Paul's ways, which be in Christ, which are in the realm of Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Okay, so what are we learning about? His ways in every church, in every place, in the book of Acts. If you want to understand your Bible rightly divided, my friends, then you're going to have to see this. That there is a change. That the Apostle Paul, he certainly had a ministry during the book of Acts. And to try and make these unnatural divorcements and groups during the book of Acts
is well and truly pointed out by Paul as being totally wrong and as a part of wrong division. And there are lots of people who call themselves all sorts of names who say, yeah, we believe in right division, and they put the revelation of the mystery in the book of Acts, and they're trying to make divisions, which Paul says, no, no, you're wrong. Paul himself says that. And the only way he'll use this is by making a transformation. Da, 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 da. Right? A transformation. So, of course, there was a Paul during the book of Acts, but there was also Paul, the prisoner, who was given the revelation of the mystery for us today. So, in everywhere, in every place, during the book of Acts, you'll find a continuum of things that are going on here. But something changed later on. Okay, and we read on here in verse number 18. Now, some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. Some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up. So there's all sorts of puffed up people here, and Paul is ready to deal with them. He will deal with them. And he says, but the power. What's he comparing with? Speech and power. Yeah, a lot of words people can say. But I'm telling you right now, you don't want to mess with an apostle. A real apostle. People say, well, you know, we're this, we're this. I'm of Paul's group. I'm of Apollos' group. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can come with us. We've got a great meeting over here. Blah, blah. Paul says, I won't know your speech, just the power. The power. And he goes on, he says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And that is true. My question to all those people who say that they have the gifts and they have all these things is, I want to see the power. Where's the power? Right? Where's the power that we see demonstrated during the book of Acts, where people were taken up out of the grave, man? People who were dead, buried, they were raised up. Where's that power today? Paul is saying, look, I'll come to you, alright, and I'm here to straighten you out. He says right down here in verse 21, what were you? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? He does not want to come with a rod. He does not want to do this, but he is prepared to do it. And do you think that he didn't have the power to lay down some terrible punishment on these people? He did. He was an apostle. He came with the signs of an apostle. He was a steward of the mysteries of God, and God respected that man. And if you brought into the temple something that would defile the temple of believers, him would God destroy, and he would use his instrument too. He would use his instrument. He would use Paul. Paul did not want to do it. But do you think he wouldn't? Yeah, if necessary, he would. Those are the times that we're talking about. We don't have those times happening here. We don't have the apostles with these gifts and these powers bringing rods of discipline and stuff like that. That doesn't happen. Yeah, people can thumb their nose at God today, but there's coming a day, my friends. There's coming a day. God's day is coming. And we're here to warn people. Well, that brought us to the end of chapter 4. And I've written the article that goes with this. It's up on rightdivision.com with a few more interesting things. But there's a lot of parallels in here which I really love to see. And as I'm learning more and more about the founding generation, what they accomplished, I'm seeing a lot of parallels that need to be written down and shown to people and brought out in books and articles and so on. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this nation. Lord, we pray for the leaders. We pray for all those that have rule over us. We ask, Lord, that You would use many who have a good appreciation of the biblical basis of the nation to make it known and make these people aware of what they're doing. And Lord, that the nation would become educated, that You'd use groups of people who come to appreciate these truths to bring to remembrance the founding fathers. And Lord, spiritually, that we would see our founding father, the Apostle Paul, Lord, as he brings to us truths, especially in this age, that we'd make these things known and that we'd be used of thee in all these things we ask. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.